Thank you. I always stand amazed. So some people can make playing the piano look so easy. If I tried it, that would never happen. But Judy can make it just talking. So thank you, Judy. Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm 100 here this morning. My subject is a heart of thanksgiving. And we've got Thanksgiving come up this week. And Psalm 100 here is a great psalm here to remind God's people to praise and thank the Lord for his goodness to us. And Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Join me in prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray as God's people that, Lord, we be a most grateful and thankful people. And Father, help us as we live for you, God. And Father, we'd honor you with all of our heart. And we give thanks from our lips, from our hearts, that, Lord, we'd be a worshiper of you and honoring you. Lord, thank you for your word, Psalm 100 we have here before us. And Father, I thank for each one that's here. And Father, I thank for each of us that hold the word of God in our hands. So, Father, may we focus on you, Lord, and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living that you've given to us. Father, help me be a vessel, honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your word, and honors your holy name. And you're truly a great King. And Father, be magnified. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God would be our teacher here this morning and move among us in confirming your word with us, Lord. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a father had his children around the table, and Joel Gregory tells a story. And the father wanted to know what the children were thankful for at Thanksgiving time. And the one young boy sitting around the table, he was trying to think when his turn to share. And all of a sudden he saw that turkey and he says, "That's it." So the young boy, when it came his turn, he looked at the turkey and expressed his thanks for this turkey. And then he got an idea. He said, "I want to thank mom for making the turkey." And then his young mind is just racing. He said, "Well, I want to thank the grocery store owner that sold the turkey." And then he said, "Well, I want to thank the farmer that raised the turkey that the grocery man could sell." And then he said, "Well, I want to thank the man that fed the turkey that the farmer raised that we could have it." He just went all the way back through everything he could think of how the turkey got to his table. And he looked around the table and said, "Did I forget anybody?" And his little brother said, "You forgot God." And he goes, "Oh, I was getting to him. I was getting to him." And, some of us, we can thank a lot of things, but do you ever get to the end of the line and thank God? Because if you leave him out, you've really left everything out. And somebody once said, you come into this world with nothing, and you'll leave with what? Nothing. So everything we have in here is what? A gift from what? God. You know, Thanksgiving time is a good time for us to be remembered. And Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord. A joyful noise that your inner being is to the Lord. You're focused on him. You're not going to forget about him. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving is an attitude we carry in our hearts. Now, there's a lot of verses that talk about thanksgiving. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or proper, but the giving of what? Thanks. That's what God wants us to live, a righteous life, a godly life, is the one that gives thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. That's God's will, that you be a person of thanks. Now, people can be a grumbler, complainer, or you can have people over here that are thankful and grateful. I heard this story one time. There's a man that stood up in a prayer meeting, a testimony time, And he's told everybody, I just want everybody to know this, that I moved from Grumble Street to Thanksgiving Street. Do you hear what he's saying? He used to live on Grumble Street. Okay, now, we all have a fallen, sinful nature, right? Okay, we do. We have that sinful nature. Do we find it easy to grumble sometimes and complain? Does that come naturally? It does. It does. Grumbling, complaining can come naturally to us as fallen creatures. We're given to that. Why does Psalm 100 say, make a shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that he is the Lord. He is God. He has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. That's what God wants us to do, to be thankful and grateful people. How do you see life? Are you a grumbler? Complainer? Not very thankful? There was a medical doctor one time. He said, during all the years I was a medical doctor, I had a number of patients who seemed to enjoy complaining about their physical ills. I would examine them and not find a single thing wrong. And yet all they did was whine and complain, a pain here, an ache there, and one expressed it. I just feel no good all over. That's what he said. He said, in my opinion, it seemed like it was all imaginary. They just seemed like they wanted to grumble and complain. It seemed to me that if they'd only start to count their blessings, they would soon forget their troubles. This doctor had a lady come in one time, very old lady. And he asked her, ma'am, how is your health today? And this is what she told him. She says, I have so much to be thankful for. I have only two teeth left, but thank God they're opposite each other. So, if you got more than two teeth, you have something to be thankful for, right? And for this lady, she said, I'm just so thankful they're opposite each other. I can bite and still bite into something. Now, we laugh, but is there some nugget of truth there for how we approach life? Is there a nugget of truth there how we see life? There is. There is, because God wants us to enter in his gates with thanksgiving. He wants us to be thankful people. Now, have you ever been around people that are grumblers and complainers? Do you know who I'm talking about? The people that just nothing ever makes them happy. They're always upset. They always have something that's grinding their spirit, always something that isn't going right. Very pessimistic spirit. I heard this story one time. I think I shared this before. A man had a friend, and he was always complaining about everything. And they were going to go hunting one time. Now, this is just for illustrative purposes, okay? So, this guy had a bird dog. He worked and worked and trained this bird dog, and he said, I'm going to impress my pessimistic friend. So they went hunting. They were duck hunting. Shot a duck. Told his bird dog, get that duck. The dog, when he hit the water, he just walked on water. All the way up, got the duck, walked right back. And the optimistic guy says, pessimistic, do you see that? See what my dog did? Pessimistic guy said, your dog can't swim, can he? Do you know people like that? No matter what happens, they always see the bad side of everything. You can have your dog walk on water, and it's still not good enough. They still won't see any good in it. Now, we've all been around people that are very thankful and grateful people. And I know from my spirit that when somebody's thankful and grateful, even in the midst of troubles, now we all have troubles, difficult. We have those. It's part of our cursed world we live in. There's all the time struggles. But some people just have a way of seeing life in such a way you just enjoy being around them. I remember there was a radio announcer one time on a radio station, a Christian radio, and I just enjoyed listening to him. Because when he came on, he was upbeat, he had just a thankful spirit, and it just blessed me to listen to him. Because it encouraged me. And now, when you listen to the radio, there's a lot of bad news on there. And if you can have somebody that's encouraging and seeing things, it can be very much an encouragement for you. Now, a heart of thanksgiving. What do we do about that? I want to share one thing here about a heart of thanksgiving. A thankful heart must be cultivated. First thing, a thankful heart must be cultivated. Now, when God says, verse 4 of Psalm 100, very short psalm, 6 verses, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Is that a suggestion or something God expects from us to do? Is that optional? No, God wants us to be thankful people. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That is something God wants us to do. Now, the object, we've got to cultivate that. Now, the scripture says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what?
Weak.
We have that. And given our fallen, depraved nature, sometimes, I don't know how to express it, but for some people, it's like, you ever seen a ravine where the water has run down over and over? It just keeps making the ravine bigger and bigger and bigger. When people live on Grumble Street, that ravine just keeps getting bigger and bigger. The water of life keeps running down it, and everything just falls into that. No matter what happens, that ravine just keeps getting bigger, and they live on Grumble Street. And they just can't seem to get above that. But I would encourage you, as believers, a thankful heart must be cultivated. You need to be careful that you don't become one who's critical and one who's just grumbling and not thankful to God. Because is Romans 8:28 still in the Bible? Now, what is Romans 8:28? Who can follow on? All things work together for what?
Good.
And stop right there. What does Psalm 100 here say? It says down here in verse 5, the Lord is what?
Good.
Okay? Does the Lord hold me in the hollow of his hand? Does he hold me? He does. He's not going to let me go. You ever seen a parent taking a child across the road and they're holding hands? Who is holding whose hand? The kid may think they're holding the parent's hand, but guess what? The parent is holding on to the kid because they're not going to let him run into the street. Do you know what I'm saying? God is holding us and keeping us. The Lord is good. When we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness in our hearts, we appeal to the character of God. God is always good all the time. Now, bad things happen in this world, but I know my God is good. Can he make a bad thing turn out good for me and for others? When Joseph was put in prison in Egypt, was that a good thing or a bad thing for him? Did God use that for good? It wasn't a pleasant thing. He wanted to what? Get out of there. But God used that for good for him. And in our lives, God may have us in a place and we don't understand how we got here, why we're here, or how long we're going to be here. But if God put me in this place, what do I need to do with that? If God put me here, what do I need to do with that? One, I need to accept it. And two, I need to be thankful for it. If that's God's will for me. If it was God's will for Joseph to be in prison, should Joseph have accepted that? Okay? Now, life, we need to cultivate a thankful heart. Daniel, book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. He was told he should not pray. What did Daniel do? And scripture says, three times he knelt before the Lord and what? Gave thanks. He cultivated a heart of thankfulness when he was told, you would be cast on den of lions if you pray. Daniel, because he cultivated a life of God. He said, you're not going to stop me from doing what I know is right. Now, you know what Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. He will make you focus on all the negative things. It's like a neon sign. Bing, 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 bing. Satan's going to just pound you. But as God's people, if we cultivate a thankful heart. Now, I've shared this before. It's just how you see things, which way you fall. There was a pastor one time held a service. It was over in across the seas. Anyway, Pastor White. And there's a man, he was always a very thankful man. And one of his parishioners said, it was a terrible storm outside. And the parishioner said, what is he going to give thanks for today? And so when he prayed for the service, he said, Lord, I thank you that every day is not like this day. Do you see how you can give thanks?
It's your attitude. Now, you want to cultivate a thankful heart. That has to be worked on. Because if Satan gets you going down living on Grumble Street, what can you do to counter that? Are you powerless? Is there nothing you can do? If Satan is pushing you toward Grumble Street, that's where he wants you to live, not on Thanksgiving Street, but Grumble Street. Are you powerless? Nothing you can do? Now, Brian made in his Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian was in the dungeon of despair, what did Brian say he pulled out? The key of what? What is our key of hope? The Word of God. Okay. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did Jesus in Matthew 4, every time Satan threw something at him, what did he throw back at him? It is what? It is written. Okay. Why do we have devotions? Why do we spend time in God? So we know the Word of God. If you want to cultivate a heart, you better know the Word of God, because Satan's going to shoot some fiery arrows at you, and you better take up the shield of faith of God's Word and say, Satan, you say this, but God says this. And this is where I'm going to land, not for what you say. So you've got to cultivate that heart. A thankful heart must be cultivated. Now, in Psalm 100 here, make a joyful shout to the Lord, a joyful noise, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has what? Made us. Who owns us? God does. Not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God wants us to be a thankful people. A thankful people. Verse 3, it is he who has made us. God is sovereign. To have a thankful heart, you've got to realize a thankful heart acknowledges God's sovereignty in our lives. I remember the testimony of David Gibbs. We shared this in Sunday school here a number of times. Does anybody remember what David Gibbs' mom had? What disease she had? She had what? Do you remember? Do anybody remember the testimony? What'd she have? She had polio. David Gibbs, a young kid, he's sitting on top of the seminary. It crippled her. Terrible. I just remember he said at the top of the steps, and you know what taught him to pray, he said? He heard his mom down at the bottom of the steps, because she couldn't get up and down the steps because of polio. She was in a bed in the living room or whatever. And he said at the top of the steps, and he listened to her pray. She'd pray, Lord, thank you for this polio. Now stop a minute. Is that an easy prayer to pray? No. Do all things work together for good? Yes. If we are the sheep of his pasture and he holds us in the hollow of hand, there's nothing that hasn't happened to us that hasn't first come through his hand. And we have to acknowledge his sovereignty. It's he that has made us, not we. God is sovereign. And we need to be thankful for what? But David Gibbs said that was impactful to him to hear his mom accept where she was in life and not be bitter toward God. Because guess what happens? If you get bitter toward God and don't see his sovereignty in your life, where does that take you? That pushes you toward what street? Grumble Street. That's where it pushes you. It'll push you there. Now, the thing about it is, we can be very self-centered, self-focused sometimes. It's all about me, what I want. And when God takes away what's precious to us, we can grumble and complain. But if we see God, as it says here in Psalm 100, know that the Lord, he is God, what does that mean? God's going to do his will, not your will. God is God, not you. There's no second God here. He is God, and he will do what he knows best. And in the midst of that, God is working in ways we cannot see. Now, let's go back to Joseph for a minute. Joseph ended up in prison. What did that do for Joseph? That was whose prison? Pharaoh's king's prison. All the people in the court of Pharaoh came to him. Joseph, for years, got to listen to all these men in government,
and learn the language and understand the culture, being in prison, being fed and taken care of. And so when he was launched into being second under Pharaoh, he knew how the government worked. He knew the language. He was being prepared. He never knew any of that. And sometimes we see something that God is, all Joseph could see, I'm in prison. This has been taken away from me, my freedom. But God had another plan in that that we didn't even understand about. And in Genesis 50, I think it's verse 20, when it says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. Do you hear that verse? Is that a spiritual mature man speaking? You guys, my brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. And a thankful heart needs to be cultivated. A thankful heart, number two, needs to recognize the sovereignty of God in our lives. Because if we don't see God as sovereign, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his what? Saints. Does God call his children home? He does. Do we miss our loved ones? We do. But if God says, I'm God, it's time for this one to come home, then what should we do? Praise the Lord. Thank God. Because God is going to call us all home at some time. And we want to recognize he is God. We're not. He's sovereign. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God takes care of us. He leads us beside the still waters. Psalm 23, God is God. Number three, a thankful heart can heal life's pain, losses, and sorrows. And that is true, a thankful heart. Now, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, we all have losses. Is that a reality for us as God's people? It is. Now, Grumble Street, there's a bridge between Grumble Street and the Street of Thanksgiving. That bridge is called the Bridge of Remembrance. Okay? Now, we cross over the Bridge of Remembrance and we think about our losses, our pain, our sorrows. They're a reality for us. We're not denying that. I'm not saying that's not a reality. It is a reality. And on that Bridge of Remembrance, Judy, I'm going to pick on you just a moment. You're my friend. When we had Veterans Day and Judy played the melodies, I locked over in tears because her husband was in the middle, Bob was. When she was on the Bridge of Remembrance, okay, those tears were real. But guess what? As God's people, we don't live under the Bridge of Remembrance. Do you know what I'm saying? We live on Thanksgiving Street because that's where God wants. Now we're on the bridge. We cross over between Grumble Street and the Bridge of Remembrance. We're there. But we don't live under the bridge because God wants us to be thankful people because he has a plan and a purpose for everything. What does Psalm 100 say? Know that the Lord, he is what? God. Rest right there. He is God. Now, God is ever so wise, he'll never make a mistake. That's how wise he is. He'll never make a mistake. He's ever too loving ever to hurt us. That's our God. When it says, know the Lord, he is God, that's what we trust in. That's what we rest in. We're cultivating that heart. We're recognizing his sovereignty. And where a thankful heart in our lives will help us heal life's pain, losses, and sorrows. Because verse 5 says, the Lord is what? In Psalm 100, the Lord is what? Good. God cannot make a mistake. The Lord is good. Now, if we live in Grumble Street, how do we feel about God? We're not going to be very quickly to say God is what? Good. We won't be there. Now, the problem is, if we don't see God as good, and we see God as unfair, unjust, unkind, unloving, where is God? Where is God? Now, the Psalms are full of David struggling with life's problems. The Psalms are full of it. We get that. We understand that. But you don't want to stay there on the Bridge of Remembrance. David remembers all Saul did to him, all the many Psalms. The Bridge of Remembrance. But we don't live under the bridge. We live on Thanksgiving Street, where we know God is sovereign, and we know God is good, and God is wise. That's where we live at. Now, in the New Testament here, Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, the act of praying, supplication, that's your request, with what?" What's that next word? Thanksgiving. Why is thanksgiving that, why is that important in our Christian life? Because it opens up God's blessings to you when you have a thankful heart. When you have a thankful heart, what it does, it's an attitude toward God. God sees you, acknowledge his sovereignty, his goodness, and you're thankful in whatever pathway he's led you down with thanksgiving, because it heals the hurts and pain and losses in our lives. Thanksgiving. God wants us to give thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, does God know our thoughts? He knows our thoughts. He knows how we feel about people. He knows what we think about people. He knows what we think about him. We know what he thinks about ourselves. In our culture today, we have media. And media paints a picture of what beauty and success is and what you should strive for and what is cool and acceptable. Is a person wise to listen to their media and make their values about themselves from the media? Okay, you take a young lady, they have all these models that are picture perfect, and they look at themselves and they feel poorly about themselves. Now, what does Psalm 100 here say? Know that he is the Lord. It is he who has what? Made us. God makes everybody an individual, perfect, just the way he wants them to be. Whatever way God's made you, can you be thankful for that? You can be. You can be thankful for whatever way God's made you. If you listen to the world and Satan, it can be pretty discouraging. But if you're thankful to what God's made you, the perfect way he's made you, there's no accidents with God. God's not lost anything. It's not out of his control. And what we want to do is be careful as God's people that we have a thankful heart about ourselves, about others, about the world around us, about God. A thankful heart can heal life's pain, losses, and sorrows as we approach God. Now, the last thing I'd like to share here this morning, a thankful heart should be encouraged by others. Now, as parents, can you encourage your children to be thankful? Can you do that? You can. We used to do it around the dinner table. I'd ask the kids, what was your high for today? What was your blessing for today? And then the next question, what was your low for today? Because what did that do for me as a dad? I knew what blessing this day, and I knew what struggles I had. What was your high? What was your low? And share that. Or sometimes we just go around, what's your blessing today? We just go around the table, what's your blessing? Because I wanted to create that attitude of being thankful as they saw life. Because we don't want Satan to get the advantage over us. And we want to be an encourager to others to be have a thankful heart. Psalm 100 here, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. We want to have an attitude of God and to encourage thankfulness in other people. It's something we should do and encourage with others. Somebody wrote this, count your blessings instead of your crosses, count your gains instead of your losses, count your joys instead of your woes, count your friends instead of your foes, count your smiles instead of your tears, count your courage instead of your fears, count your full years instead of your lean, count your kind deeds instead of your mean, count your health instead of your wealth, count on God instead of yourself. Count your many blessings, what? Name them what? One by one. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we've talked about this theme of being thankful and having a thankful spirit and not living on Grumble Street and not being self-focused. And Lord, you are sovereign and life moves on. And Father, we as God's people, may we be a thankful heart this week, especially as Thanksgiving Day. Lord, may we be an encourager around the table to give thanks of what you've done for us as God's people. And Father, as Psalm 100 encourages us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, may we be that kind of people to give thanks and honor and glory to you, God, that we wouldn't diminish the glory and honor due your holy name. Lord, cultivate an attitude within us of gratitude, thankfulness, contentment, a spirit that envelops peace and goodwill toward others. So Lord, help us toward that end, that we would not be critical of others or of ourselves or of life circumstances. But Lord, may we be thankful people. And as Daniel prayed 3 times, giving thanks unto his Lord God, Father, may we likewise give thanks 3 times a day for the way you've blessed us and encouraged us. So Lord, may we see things through the lens, through the heart of a thankful heart, God. May we live on Thanksgiving Street, Lord, and not on Grumble Street this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our closing hymn is going to be For the Beauty of the Earth, 559. Let's all stand here as God's people.